Welcome to Headlines. This is David Lichtenstein. This week we have with us Rabbi Yisrael Brag, a prominent Rosh Hashiva in Brooklyn. We will be speaking about Tznius. We will be speaking to Rabbi Tzvi Rosen in Eretz Yisrael. He is one of the Mishamshim by Rabbi Shmuel Auerbach. We will try to understand why are they making protests, holding up traffic, and doing all kinds of things which are not getting us very good press. Let's see what the other side has to say. And I really tried my absolute hardest to be as polite as I can. We gotten a lot of letters saying, you know, I pushed the Rabbanim too much, so I really took my hat off to him. You can listen to us Matzah Shabbos, 11 to 12 midnight on WMCA 570 AM, or on the Nachum Segal Network, again on Nachum Segal, nachumsegal.com, at 11 on Monday. You can find all our shows at headlinestyra.com. This is a new, if the old one works too, but we made it easier. Headlinestorah.com. You can email questions to us at info@headlinesbook.com. You can always listen to us at 732-806-8700.
Friends and listeners and participants with all the emails we get, something wonderful. Do you know that Headlines 2 is going to be published and going to be in your Sfarim stores in the next 2 weeks. It took around 2 years to write. I took 24 of what I thought were the best, you know, episodes, programs that we had with the Rabbanim. We have, you know, Rabbi Moshe Sternbach, Rabbi David Cohn, Rabbi David Yosef, Rabbi Asher Weiss, their opinions from Mordechai Willig, Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky, etc., etc. I took the Rabbanim who were on those programs from three continents, and I put it into, you know, with the article that, you know, created it, the article in the news, the first headlines, I believe, the all-time bestseller of the OU. So this, again, is being published by the OU, which I guess if they kosher our food, that means they're giving us a hechsher on this too. And it's exciting. It's going to look fantastic. And I think that if you want to have something to discuss over Pesach, and you're sitting Chalamayit and you want to talk to your kids about something besides maybe Donald Trump, but you want to talk about an interesting halacha topic that will get your children, your friends, your neighbors interested in arguing, Jews love to argue, go out and get, we only published, the first run is only a few thousand, I'm sure they're going to sell out in a hurry before Yom Tov, so go to your Sfarim store and say, I want headlines too.
I do want to share a small thought on Pesach. We're coming up to one of the really holy, special, exalted nights of the year, which is the Seder. You know, the Maralmi Prague asks the question, he says, why do we start the Seder with so many questions, and the children get up on the chair and they ask questions? So the Maral says, Maral lived in the early 1600s, he says, you know, life is not what you think. Today you open up a paper, you read about a quarterback who threw 400 yards, you read about some, you know, businessman who made, it's all these fantasies. The Maral says it's not that way. Anything good comes through struggle. All light must be preceded with darkness. Les nehura delei nafik migei chashucha. He says when Rabbeinu Shalom created the world, first he created night, and afterwards did he create light. He says we can only reach das, enlightenment, if we first struggle with doubt, with sphakis, with pandemonium, noise, confusion, struggle. We all know about that. You know, I've been involved in Bikkur Chaylim for a number of years now. And so we have this girl I meet through one of the houses or programs, I don't remember, and her family. And she was diagnosed with a disease, and I'm there, and the family is sitting and crying, the parents and the girl. The doctors told the girl, it is unlikely, right, or highly unlikely, that she will ever walk again. She's 16 years old. She's in shock, right, hearing from a doctor. And on there, I think maybe they were staying at one of our big, I don't remember how, you know, I met her. And I'm sitting there in the hospital, and the parents look at me like I'm supposed to say something or do something, like I'm not a Rebbe. Like, you know, which magic wand? Do you, like, you're just a family sitting there crying. And I remembered this morale, and I looked at the parents, and I said to the parents, I said, listen, I don't know anything. I can't tell you, but I could tell you one thing, that the athlete who won the gold medal, we read about the gold medal. We don't read about all the push-ups and chin-ups and struggles and nights. We don't read about that. The person who, I said, but where ye then? I said, look at us. Our whole existence comes from mitchila ovde avaydezara hayu aveseinu. It all starts with murrah. It starts with, look at us. And what's our story? Do you know that when the American Revolution, Jefferson, the first pilgrim, looked at the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, look, from slavery, liberty, from struggle, poverty, affliction, I said, that's our story. We're Jews. We come from struggle. We start with questions, and what do we end up with? We end up with geula, liberty, success, godless, Torah, Nobel Prizes. That's our story. I said, we have to have faith in our own story. I said, it's your DNA. Well, I don't know what made me say that. I guess it was before Pesach. This was a number of years ago. And this year, I got an invitation from the parents to her wedding. And she's walked down the aisle. So what do I think about the night of Pesach? The night of Pesach is me'avdos l'cheres, but every one of us, it says, b'chol derv, we have to somehow match it up to our struggles, and we have to have absolute emuna that we are unique, that in our very DNA for so many thousands of years is this story, from doubt, from struggle, from questions, ultimately to geula. That's the story of the Seder. Let's go to our fabulous guests. We have the honor of having with us on the phone from New York City, Rav Yisrael Brog, who's Rosh Yeshiva of Tiras Avigdor. He's an anical of the eponymously named Rav Avigdor Miller. And he's also, through marriage, an anical of Rav Sarutskin, the great Telza dynasty. Welcome, son-in-law. Rabbi Brog.
Okay, son-in-law.
Son-in-law of Rav Sarutskin. Welcome, Rabbi Brog.
Nice to be here.
Can you define Sneas for us?
Yes. The importance of defining Sneas is because people translate it to mean modesty. And they see modesty as a prat in Hasidus. Every midah toiva that the Torah wants us to gain and acquire is a form of tikkun. We have to overcome challenges, and we're misakin ourselves by acquiring the midah toiva. Sneus is a very specific midah that carves a very, very wide path. It's not just a small prat in one's service of Hashem. It's an all-encompassing midah. And what is it exactly? As follows. The challenge that every single human being was placed in this earth to overcome is gaiva and taiva. That means we are ego-driven human beings. Each one of us is an individual. We don't look the same. We're not made in the same mold, as the Gemara says. We don't think the same. As such, each individual wants to be recognized and acknowledged for his individuality. People don't want to be viewed as one of a crowd. Based on that, people now yearn and pursue kavod. Like in the words of the Mesilas Yesharim, kol amal ha'odam, all the toil of man is lehinose al kol misha yuchal. He wants to elevate himself over whomever he's able to do so. That's the drive of a person's ego. Because a person is driven by ego, they attempt to do things to make themselves stick out. So the midah of modesty, the midah of tznius, is to be misaken and to control that drive of kavod and gaiva that a person is driven by. So whenever you see somebody who's not interested in modesty, not interested in tznius, the understanding is they're feeling not important. They're feeling not an individual. They're feeling that they want others to take notice of them. So it really applies whether to a man or to a woman. We associate the midah only with women, but it's not them. It applies to everybody. Because you could have a man who's got himself a fancy tie, and he wants everybody to know that it cost him $300. He wears it backwards, or he leaves the price tag on. That's the same thing as seeing. Take notice of me. Look at me. Understand I'm special. I'm whatever the person, the covered hamaduma that he relates to, the imaginary covered that he in his mind he assumes gives him a status of individuality or a special status. So whatever it is, it's regardless, the person tries to present himself. The midah of tznius is to counter that midah.
Now, Rabbi Brag,
yeah.
Would you agree that a level of healthy respect of ego is important for a person?
Well, the healthy respect of ego is one of the most dangerous things. It's like dynamite. If it's used improperly, it could blow up houses and blow up people's lives. If you use it properly, you make beautiful, beautiful highways. The Mesilas Yesharim himself tells us how important it is a person to address his ego drive and how to nurture it. The way to nurture the ego drive is to focus on what are the real gains that a person seeks to gain in this world. And once a person identifies those gains, which is ultimately his chelik and to gain his chelik and olam haba, to make a difference in this world, to change this world, to make the world a better place, to be marbe kvod shemayim. So then a person uses his ego to drive him to do those things, but not when he's looking to get acceptance of other people to take notice of him for his individuality on things that are no consequence and just arouse and increase one's drive for covet.
Okay, so Rabbi Brock, could we shift? Now that you've identified, you've described what is tznius, could we talk about it the way it's used in a more practical level, you know, when you ask people what is tznius, even though what you're referring to, I guess, is more of what the pasuk says, latznuim chachma, right? That would be a high level, but it's more commonly understood in reference to women.
Right.
I'd like
I'll explain
to
that. Can I explain that?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. See, besides for the ego drive that every human being has, every human being has also a taiva drive. We are mortals, we are made of offer. We have innate desires without outside forces. Within ourselves, we are drawn and attracted, Hashem implanted within the mortal body, desires for things, taivas, and that's the second battle that a person fights in his life. And the reason why it sneers as its weight is reflected in women is because of that second issue. The reason why we tell women to beat sneers is because the taiva drive is so high, because we live today even more so in a society which is so parutz in this area. So we therefore talk about sneers because a lot of times women are not aware of, you'll ask them, how can we dress not sneers? A lot of people have told me the reason is I want to present myself, I want to make a statement. I want to do what makes me feel good, which in other words, they're talking about from the recognition factor. They don't think a lot of times about the taiva factor. But because they're unaware of the taiva factor, they're not realizing the michshel that they're causing for other men, because that's the inherent battle we're fighting. So that's why, it's because that's such an important battle and such a battle that affects a lot of people and it has a lot of karbonis. That's why in society we are emphasize the tznius more of the woman, because the tznius of the man, which you spoke about mainly, is the gaiva. That's a personal battle. It doesn't affect that many other people. The taiva battle that is associated with tznius has a much far-reaching effect. Like I heard from my grandfather, a lady could be walking down the street and not looking tznius and not even being aware of the fact that because of her choice of dress, how many people have looked at her, how many people had a bad thought. She was a walking michshel, and she has no idea where to be. She would never know, have any idea where to begin to do tshuva. She's sometimes even unaware of the fact that it's happening. But that doesn't absolve you. And it's innocence is bliss, used to say. So a person has to be made aware of that and take responsibility for their being a mikshel.
Okay, Rabbi Bragg, let's go to practical halacha. Today they have, I don't know if you heard the interview with Reb David Cohen, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it, but we asked him this concept of 4 inches below the knee and 4 inches above the ankle, where's its mekayer? And he said it's no place in the Shulchan Aruch and Paiskim, and it's actually, I did my research, and it's There's a Rabbi Falk from England wrote a sefer, Oiz V'Hadar, where he sort of invented this number of 4 inches below the knee and 4 inches above the knee. What is your view of it?
My view is that many people have asked me about that. I said that is not halacha per se. That's an etzah of a guideline how to avoid the problem. Just telling a lady that she has to be aware that her knees should not be showing is a davar pashut. Many ladies, when you mention it to them, they will pull their skirts down. But they're unaware of the fact, they're not conscious of the fact that when they're walking around and their choice of clothing is such that when they will sit down or being in a compromising situation, it will cause them to inadvertently be over on the Gidrei Hatznius al pi halacha. So he came up with an Eitzah. That's all it is. It's just guideline of an Eitzah.
Can we just examine this Eitzah? Because
yeah,
I want to also point out that the Eitzah has caveats to it.
Okay.
In other words, the Mishneh Berurah says you have to wear, you have to cover ad ha'arkuva, until
yeah,
the knee.
Right.
We know the Chazon Ish argues and he holds us till the ankle. But just like the Chazon Ish believes the ankle does not have to be covered, when you read the Mishneh Berurah, Kipshuta, as well as the Prima Gadim, the knee does not have to be covered as well. Is that correct?
No. That's because ad means ad v'ad b'chlal. That's been accepted halacha by all the Gedolei. That's not my thing, that's what I'm saying. All the Gedolei Hador will tell you, and all the Gedolei Poskim will tell you, that it's ad v'ad b'chlal, the arkuva has to be covered.
Even though it's not brought, the Adva Ad Bechlal is not brought by
a double pashut. In history,
Paisik.
I think it was double pashut.
Okay. I'm just pointing out that the Adva Ad Bechlal, usually when you say Ad, doesn't mean, when you say Ad Rish Chaydish, it doesn't mean and also Rish Chaydish, right?
It depends. A lot of times Ad means Ad Bechlal,
but it doesn't. But it's the exception.
The forum
and
here is the place.
I'm just telling you that it's not the Advad Bahal is not mentioned by a single Achron as late as today.
Like, but I don't think you're going to find in any Achron as late as today telling you that it doesn't have to be. It has to be is Ad and the Akub itself to be Nisgala.
Okay, but it's all. A Chiddush. What you're saying is a Chiddush. That's all. Now let me ask you another question. The halach is tefach be'isha erva, right? That means less than a tefach is not an erva. So then, theoretically, except for the sheet of the taz, if a woman was wearing a dress up to a tefach above her knee, if you read the Shulchan Aruch Kipshute, ad harkuva means till the knee. You want to go, if you hold tefach be'isha have erva like the Beis Yosef, like for a Sephardi woman, let's say, they can wear up to 2.5 or 3 inches above the knee. So when we go 4 inches below the knee, we are basically saying that for you to avoid the minimum of halacha, you are basically have to add 11 inches from before, according to the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, you enter into a problem. It's quite an opinion, this, isn't it? Now it's a wonderful chumrah. I'm just pointing out that it's a chumrah and it's not the bare reading of the halacha.
So the only thing I'm going to tell you is, without getting into this issue, is that just like had Ramesha not come and told us in his tshuvas about how much of a lady's hair can be uncovered and she's not considered to be a prutza, I need to see clearly in a poisik of Ramesha's stature, Shlomo Zalman, I have to see such a thing that would say that would be acceptable. Because even if Tefach Bisha Erva, that doesn't mean to say that in any all parts of her body, that if it's up to a Tefach, it's not a problem. That's ludicrous.
Wait, sir, Rabbi Brock, that's the Machlokes. It's the Ram,
I
the Rashba, and the Prima Gadim.
The
three opinions on
Maisa,
and the Chazinish. Chazinish, by the way, paskind the tefach beisha erva, not like the taz.
I understand, but there's theoretical law and then there's the canons of law. In the practical psak, I'm not here to do a psak with you that you'll talk to David Cohn about, but I'm just here to explain to you that the fact of the matter is the world, I don't know of any kreis, I don't know of any group, Hasidic, non-Hasidic, any choshev gedolim who find a kula and accept a kula in this matter. That's all I can tell you.
Okay. Yeah. I don't disagree with you. I'm only pointing out that it's chumrah vis-a-vis halacha. That's what I'm pointing out. So let's say an anachgamin would be legabe a bracha. If somebody comes in and they're you have by your Shabbos table, you have somebody who's wearing a skirt that's above the knees. It would not be, according to the Beis Yosef, it would not be a problem up to very likely 3 inches above the knee. Legabe the Shiloh, do you have to close your eyes, etc.?
I will refer that Shiloh to other places.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, there's been a little bit of a controversy, if you could call it such, about not showing women in papers, which, you know, we had on the week before, and I've spoken to a number of, you know, mechanchim who feel that it's a bad message, and it's not a Litvisha message. It's a message that came from the Hasidim, in particular from the Hungarians, and it's not our Messiah. But unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on where you stand, it's been adopted by just about all the papers, the Haredi papers in the world. How would you feel about that?
The way I feel about it is what the Chavetz Chaim was going to say. When the Chavetz Chaim came to a Knesset Gedolah, and there was a shaila of putting up, being machmer and tznius to a certain level that wasn't acceptable by the Litvisha. But the Ger Rebbe wanted it, and it became a whole tumult about yes and about no. So they decided they can ask the Chavetz Chaim. And the Chavetz Chaim said, Mer tznius, Shatnished. You don't lose from being more tznius. There's, because somebody's not machmer tznius, it doesn't mean they're prutzim. That's, But if somebody is machmir in tznius, that's definitely something to be accepted. So if the reason why they don't put it in, there's definitely no clear halacha about putting in a picture of a woman in a newspaper. The problem is, if you put a picture of one woman, who's you put in just a headshot, the next person you're going to put a full body shot, the next person is going to be not a Jewish woman, so it's going to be exposure of arms and legs and other things that shouldn't be exposed. So I think that they just made a gether, and it's a gether of more tznius. And more tznius shotness. It's to make an issue of such a thing, it's almost a non-issue. To make it a bad thing, I don't see that it's a bad thing.
So Rabbi Brock, let me propose maybe why it isn't a good thing, okay? And again, I think it would be very contingent upon what your background is, but to many American girls, when you say your picture can't appear in the paper, well, imagine if they said Jews' pictures can't appear in a paper. Well, what does the Torah say? What does Moshe Rabbeinu, Kav Yachal, say to Moshe after the Chet Edel? Emchenu mi sifri, mechenina mi sifricha, erase me. I mean, when we say we won't allow your picture, we won't allow your name in the paper, what do we, this is not a sign of respect. It's not a good thing. It's a sign of diminishment. You know, somebody came to a very famous Eretz Yisrael Dika Rebbe. You know, I won't mention his name, but we probably all know who he is. And he was read to a girl who was very slight of character. And it bothered the boy. So he asked the Rebbe, should he go out with her? And the Rebbe said, the less we see of those creatures, the less there is of them, the better off we are. So, you know, and I'll tell you another story with the Chafetz Chaim. I don't know if Reb David mentioned this, but he didn't. But I heard this story. I heard it actually from a Gera Chassid, Shlomo Zitman. He said that the great Rosh Yeshiva of Ramchal, of Yachal, of Ramey Shapiro, came to the Chafetz Chaim, and the Chafetz Chaim's Rebbetzin ate by the table, and he said, I can't eat by a table with a woman. The Chafetz Chaim said, I'm sorry, this is how we do it here. You know, Mechabda Yaisa Megufay. So I think the end of that story is Ramey Shapiro ate by himself in the other room, but he was not willing. So I think the concept of, I'm sorry?
I'm familiar with that story.
Yeah, so the concept is, when it's Bein Adam L'Chaveray, can there be too much tznius? I think if the other person feels diminished because of it, which I would if they didn't, they said no Jews pictures in the paper. If the other person feels that, you know, the less of me that there is the better. And what's the downside of it, besides the Bein Adam L'Chaveri and the midas of hurt feelings, is that one of the number one reasons why girls become irreligious is because there's a sense that in our religion, they're seen as second-hand figures. And so if it's a halacha, you say, look, you're not allowed to daven for the Amid, it's one thing. But to be Moisif Nugidarim, maybe it's Baltaisif. Maybe this is like Altiga Ba'etz. Maybe it's Altahi Tzadik Harbe. You know, by the Catholics, a woman is an evil thing. So that's why a priest is not allowed to marry a woman. A priest say celibate their whole life. Klal Yisrael always believed that there's a kedusha in yichud in a family setting, right? So are we sometimes, you know, we become frumer than the Torah, and it's al tehi tzadik arbe, and another is called the chayta, and it shows disrespect, and people become, and when you take frumkeit past what the Shulchan Aruch and the Kaviyachel say, you become an aybechacha. Maybe that is bad.
So what I'll tell you is like this. The story of the Chafetz Chaim, I always say over. The Chafetz Chaim over there was faced with a challenge. And my machmir and tznius was a total chumrah for Reb Meir Shapiro at the expense of being mezalzel v'ishti. That he felt that the covet of his isha took priority because it would be a zilzel versus a chumrah. In the case of the Knessi Gedoyla, where the Ger Rebbe insisted on a mechitza, it wasn't at the expense of a zilzal on anybody. It was just an additional chumrah in snius. So if somebody tells me I'm sitting by a table and the lady is not covered here 100%, I said, if Ramosha Paskins is acceptable and you make a fuss about it, you're mezalzal in the person. That's a zilzal, because Ramosha says it's a chumrah. But let's say a lady is here is not covered at all, and you can't make a bracha. So you have to figure out how to make that bracha. You can't say, well, if I turn around, or if I make the bracha in an inadvertent manner, they might come to a zilzal. Over there we say, ein eitzah, ein choch, ein tfun, ein eger Hashem. Now, over there you got to do what Hashem wants you to do.
You close your eyes, the thing, says.
It's the same thing with the pictures. Not putting a picture of a lady is not being mezalzal in any person. The person who wants to come and say that's a zilzal because it's hashaychus to Catholics, hashaychus to this, that's a little far-reaching effect. We always were machmir and sneers. Over there, the question is, if we're going to allow pictures, it may come to a chilul because you may go and cross the boundaries. So they accepted that as the norm. I can't even tell you what yes. It's not my position in this world to make what's yes or right, but I don't hear that it's mizalzal on anybody personally.
Do you think, Rabbi Brog, do you think it was a zilzal in Rebbetzin Kinyevsky to write a book about her but not have a picture of her in the book?
No. No, because that's what they wanted. Reb Chaim wanted that way.
Well, Reb Chaim was surprised. He asked, where is the picture of her? That was the story. Where is Rebbetzin Kinyevsky when he got the book?
Okay.
So I'm asking you, you don't think it's a zilzal to say, we won't have Jews' names, if you're Jewish, we won't have your picture in the paper?
That's, if it's because I'm Jewish,
and because you're
then
a woman.
It's racist.
If it's because of a woman, it's just called misogynistic. It's just another name for racism.
Okay. No.
You don't think that's a zilzal?
I don't think it's because they're women. No.
Let me ask you a question. There's a halacha that a woman is not allowed to stare at a man either. Right? This would be priestistic for a girl to stare at a man, even though it's less common. Do you think we should maybe have a takana that there should be no men's pictures in the papers? Because maybe you'll have a very handsome man. Or maybe you'll have a man who's dressed inappropriately. You'll have first his face, then have a whole figure of a man. Then you'll have maybe somebody dressed inappropriately.
I definitely think
a woman would be Yaiva, so maybe we shouldn't have men's pictures.
I definitely think if you're going to put Rav Finkel of the Mir in a bathing suit, that child would come up. But I don't think that problem comes
up. That's the same child you said by women. You said by women you're going to put in an attractive woman.
Most of the women you're going to put in is not Rebbetzin Kinyevsky and Rebbetzin Evstein.
But most of the people in papers are not Rav Finkel either.
No, I understand. But you're telling me there's certain things that are the norms. In the world, the norms is you put in not sneeristic pictures of women.
So they can have
We don't even know there's a difference anymore.
But it's for papers to have this, we will not put in any picture that is against the halacha or against the chumrah. That would be an understandable thing. But to put in no pictures of women, well, maybe there shouldn't be pictures of men.
Once again, I'm going to defer that to the day. I don't see the comparison.
Okay, let me ask you another question. Do you see that in the Litvish world, a substantial number of the women used to wear a tefach out? I said there's pictures of Lubavitcher Rebbe, you see Rebbe Avadi Yosef's wife, but it was known. I mean, in Lit there was, right? Additionally, a lot of the women got educated. Rabbi Aaron's daughter was a psychologist. V'cheina. When you walked into Rabbi Chaim Meiser, there was a full-length picture of his daughter hanging in his house, his daughter who died when she was young, when she was 17. In the Hasidic world, women were tabu. Like this Rebbe said, the less we see of them, the better. Do you think it's a mila that we have now, Baruch Hashem, Ach Shadara, we have become more frum than they were in the Litta? Well, do you think perhaps in the Litta there was a message there that when we show that women are part of society. There are benefits to it. It's a partnership. It's mechabda yaseh migufa. A husband has who to talk to when he has a problem, as opposed to somebody who makes kugel all day. Do you think that maybe the chachamim of prior dairis weren't so foolish and actually knew what they were doing when they said we should respect an isha so that a marriage is a complete partnership, so that people feel v'haya leguf echad is not just in words, but there is? Do you think there's a value perhaps in building up the image of women? And most certainly, and maybe we haven't become frumma, but maybe we've become a little bit tone deaf to what they were aware of?
So I'm going to tell you, I had a shvigal el shalom, Revitzin Tzorotskin, who was a daughter of the Telzer Rav. And I asked her about it a number of times, about the certain level of things that were accepted in those days that today would be unheard of. And I asked her, what's the pshat? How do you understand what's the change? So she said, and to her was pashit, that door was more kosher than our door. The things that today we're exposed to, the Yerushimayim that we're exposed to, is such a lower level than what we were exposed to, that things didn't enter our mind that today enter people's minds. And she gave me a number of examples, but she said, don't you think it should be like today? She has no relevance for today. As far as building up the woman, of course you should. I never saw somebody, my shver, Zecher Levracha, was build up his wife tremendously. And he would come home from second Seder, and he would mamish shear with his wife the simcha that he found the pshat in the Rashba. My wife tells him she remembers Rebbe coming home on an occasion and taking his wife and dancing around the thing. He said, "Lama tansin ibadim Rashba." He was machshev his wife, and a person should be machshev his wife, but not to be machshev femininity. The world who's selling feminism is not trying to be machshev the isha. We're looking for to be machshev the isha. Of course that has to be done. I don't know what you said over the name of some Rebbe. It's hard to me to believe. Rebbe Kiveger writes about how he misses his wife. When his wife died on him, he talked to her for many hours into the night. And all kind of in yonim of
Yerushimayim.
Unbelievable. He spoke to me. He was machshev his wife. That's the chashivas we have to give to our wives. Not chashivas that they should be, you know, professionals and career people. That's not the chashivas that they're selling in the world, that there should be equal pay. That I don't think that's where the Yiddishkeit is trying to sell. But of course, from the Yiddish perspective, we have to fakif it, we have to sell it, we have to emphasize it, the chashivas, and a girl has to feel chashiv. She has to feel that she's shava b'shava, and she has to feel she's an emes shutif, and she has to understand her role. The problem is in feminism when the woman says, "I want the role of a man." Well, that's where we part ways.
Well, I agree with you that everybody has their thing, but I'm pointing out that in the Chassidish world, it was.
I'm not Chassidish. I can't speak for them. It's hard for me to offer anything.
Okay. So I'm just pointing out that we have become Chassidim, that the Lipsitz way of doing this has been adapted from the Chassidim. It was never done this way in Litta. And just like there's a concept of Chadash Asim and Atayra, there's a concept of Alti Tzadik Harbe, and I'm wondering whether we are undermining a very basis of our society. But, okay, enough said on that.
I don't believe so. Okay.
Let me ask you another question. Very often, when a tragedy occurs, there'll be a kolkaira, it's about sneis. And I've actually been by a levaya where they were screaming how we have to, a woman was killed in a car accident in Lakewood, and the maspid was screaming how the generation has to be a machbid on sneis. And I'm wondering what is your opinion of this cure-all
Let me explain you something. Any situation that of tragedy that came about because of a lack of Shemira, generally we have an Hagga, our relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael is He Shomer Amo Yisrael Lo'at. Hashem is the Shomer. That's why we're protected. Not because of this organization, not because of that organization. Hashem is Shomer Amo Yisrael. What makes Hashem keep his Ratzon to be Shomer us? Now, there is, in the concept of Shomerim, there are different levels of Shomerim. There's a Shoyel who says, if you lend me something and you give me the opportunity to use it, I become fully responsible to you. There's a Shomer Sachar where you pay the person. He then has a lower level of Shmir. He's not Chayav Ein Simur. He's Chayav more Shmir than a Shomer Chinam. Shomer Chinam is somebody who watches you for less. The only thing he can't do is be Pesheya. So the question is, Hashem is our Shomer. What type of Shomer is he? Is he a Shoyel? Is he a Shomer Sachar or Shomer Chinam? So the Chabad Chaim said he's a Shomer Chinam. Because Hashem doesn't owe us anything. Hashem chooses, out of his kindness, out of his heart, is to be a Shomer Am Yisrael. So he said, what makes Hashem decide to be a Shomer? So Chabad Chaim said, if you look in the Torah, it says that if the lo yiroya b'cho ervas davar b'shav me'acherecha, that whenever there's a matziv of shmira on tznius, then Hashem wants to be a shomer. If Hashem sees matzavim where ervas davar, that causes b'shav me'acherecha, Hashem to turn away from you and not be shomer you. So therefore, when you see and you encounter a matzav where it was Hashem chose not to be Shomer Am Yisrael, the first place you look is in the Torah, who gives us our instructions, and it says, look, if we have to be mechazik in tznius. I know this from Reb Segel. He used to say to people, you're sick, you need shmira. So he used to say, okay, make sure you cover your hair, because that shmira will afford you shmira from HaKadosh Baruch.
So, Rabbi Brog, let me respectfully respond. And again, I'm from the, you know, I grew up and went to great Litvish yeshivas.
Okay.
And we know that in the Litta, or in Poland, we used to paskin from either a Shulchan Aruch and a Gemara, right, from the Sugyas, right? So let me mention, quote, 20 different times in Shas, where it talks about Avin, Peronius, and Churban, right? So I'll just randomly. The Gemara in Sanhedrin and Dav Zayin, it says, Bavoin Ivus Hadin Nechrav Habayis, because they didn't paskin properly. So I want to know why by a Levaya doesn't somebody get up and say, we're not paskining, the halach is proper, the Rabbanim aren't doing their job, and that's why, of course, brings Churban to the world. Doesn't say anything about sneers, about women's knees.
I'm going
to mention 20 Gemaras.
No, I want to find your premise, but I can't explain to you. I've never been by Levi that I heard that. So
okay.
I can't tell you that.
A Kol Kairat.
I've heard a lot of things. I heard a lot of things mentioned besides sneers.
Okay.
You know, I heard the Chil Shabbos, and I heard the Nivel Peh. I have Gemaras and all kind of things.
Right. So let's talk about Shmira. It says Bavoin Bittel Ha'avoida, because by Noivir Kehanim, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. The Gemara Numa says Bavoin Sinas Chinam.
Right.
Why don't they put out a Kol Kaira? You want Shmira? Churbin comes from Sinas Chinam, right? Here's another one. Bavoin Bittel Torah. Bonav Shalad Mesim. Bavoin Bittel Torah. Nechtev Ha'ir. The Gemara says Churva Yerushalayim Bavoin Chil Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos Kufiyotes. The Gemara says Bavoin Bittel Ha'tzedaka. Like Anshe Sedaim were Nechrav because of that. The Gemara says, Churv Yerushalayim Ad Shebazu Talmidei Chachamim. There wasn't enough covered that Torah. Shebatlu Tinoike Shel Beis Rabban. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yates. Shabbos again. Shabbos Bavoin Kriyashma Bizmana. Terrible things are happening because people aren't getting up in time to do Kriyashma. Shehamidu Zedteim.
You made your point.
I have another 20. We have a letter from the Chafetz Chaim that says people should dress tzniyistik, and that's a shmira. I have 25 gemaras, I could keep on going, that talk about things that are really relevant, you know, bittel Torah, sinas chinam. I'm yet to see a kol kaira that say, you know why things are happening? Because we're not doing enough bikachaylim, we're not doing enough ahavas chaverim.
You're 100% right, I agree with you.
So why
have
we chosen a letter? Why have we chosen a letter from the Chafetz Chaim against 25 Gemaras? Chafetz Chaim kvaydei b'mkayme munach, but we have Reb Zeirin, Reb Hunan, Reb Chizdin, Reb Yochanan, and Reb Shlakish. Why don't we look to them?
Because, I'll explain you why. Because to be machriya and das Torah, it's very difficult to find machriya exactly which thing is what. So we need somebody of the Chafetz Chaim stature, or Gedali Yisroel, to decide which Kol Kore is relevant now. If you look through the Michtevei de Chavetz Chaim, you find all kind of different, he addressed different challenges. He addressed earthquakes, he addressed fires, he addressed challenges, he addressed all, he doesn't say the same standard line every time. Sometimes he says it's in the Tzchinam. I'm not the Chavetz Chaim, so I can't speak for him. You have to ask people who put out the Kol Koreis. I've never put one out, so I can't tell you. If you have to ask people to put out how they figure this out and they determine which is the appropriate tikkun you need for this challenge.
Well, Rabbi Brag, I thank you for your time and I thank you for being so honest and presenting such a tyrannic view on the topic.
A pleasure. Have a wonderful Yom Tov.
You go to our next guest. I want to, you know, say over a word from last week's parsha. It says, "Al kol karbancha takriv melach." And all our karbanis, we have to put on salt. And one of the Gedali HaMachshavah says something beautiful. He says, "Salt. Too much of it, the food is inedible. Too little, it's inedible." So, what does salt stand for? Having perspective and balance in life. Like Rabbi Yitzchak Fegelstuck always used to say, Medav zayin normal, you have to be normal. Too much in any extreme is crazy. It's like salt. Al kol karbancha takriv melach, all your sacrifices, all the mesiras nefesh, anything you do, takriv melach, is it balanced? Is it normal? Did you take tznius to the point where you're wearing a burqa? Or did you take modernity to the point where you've lost all your identification and your mission and your messiah? Al kol karbancha takriv melach. Let's keep that in mind when we go to our next interview.
Phone with us from Yerushalayim, Harav Tzvi Rosen, who's a Paisik and a Dayan in Yerushalayim, and he's also a Meshamish, Bakaydish, Barev Hagoyin Rav Shmuel Auerbach. Welcome, Rabbi Rosen.
Thank you, Rav David. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. So, Rabbi Rosen, here in America, we hear a lot about what goes on in Eretz Yisrael without much of an understanding. Basically, it's what the news media feeds us, much of it not Jewish media. Could you tell us what the purpose of the party, HaPeleg, is, and what is their mission?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll try to explain it in a few words. In the last 10 years, it really began when the previous government with Shinui was controlling. So they passed what's called Chok HaGiyus. The Chok HaGiyus is a law that really had in the purpose is to draft into the army as much from people as they can. And the government changed, and the way they're doing it changed. They're doing it, you know, then it was more in the way of Esav, and I maybe more in the way of Ochi. But the law is continuing, and they're trying all the time to get more and more yeshiva boys into the army. This in numbers, if we were 10 years ago, there were 300 Haredim in the army a year. We're already up to 3,000 a year. Besides that, they're also changing in the education, they're changing the kindergartens, they're trying to change in the yeshivas. They're all the time, you know, step by step, you know, like they're trying to interfere, also with punishments and much more than that, with money and give promising. And like Mr. Shimoni, the head of the Haredi department in the education, said, we'd given a lot of carrot and a bit of a stick. So that in general what they're trying to do. And I'm saying I'm not speaking negative on anyone else, but there's a big part of the Haredi community that are for some reason keeping quiet and not, I'll say not, I won't say accepting it, but they're not actively doing anything. And Reb Shmuel Erbach feels that the only way we have left is to stand out and shout and try to stop it, to yell out and do a mechoe on what they're trying to do to us. That on one hand. And the other hand, he's all opening new yeshivas, new schools. Now they're starting new kindergartens that are completely disconnecting from the government. And by that, and on one hand, they're not getting the money and they can disconnect also ideologically and stop the interference of the government in the schools and in the yeshivas. So that, in a few words, what's happening here and what else can I explain?
So, Rabbi Rosen, what would you, let's say, as far as the army, where I understand is what started it, I understand that already the Chazenish, I don't know, close to 100 years ago, I guess, like I would say 75 years ago, got a tour for Yeshiva Bachram. What would you, what's your dream? If you could have everything in the army that you wanted, what would you want?
No, so again, the army is not a place for Haredi boys. I can say in my personal experience, every Haredi that I know, and I know quite a few of them that went to the army, they went down in Ruchnias. And I'm saying, even if we go, you know, into the what's called the Nachal Haredi or other units that are meant for the Haredi, I mean, you know, they have the Kashrus and they have, in those places, the Yerida in Ruchnias was the worst. The whole group stopped davening, and this is time after time, when you're controlled by not religious people, and you, I'm saying, even if you're in a so-called religious environment, the ashpok that comes from the outside is mashpia, and you go down, and I'm saying, a few dozen of soldiers, and they all went down in Ruchnias. I'm saying, someone completely,
So what's your goal? What would be your goal? What would make you happy?
There won't be any Haredi that goes to the army.
And let's say, in Bnei Brak, wouldn't they agree with you? The Chazinish already said he got a p'tur for yeshiva boys in the army. What's new? Well, what has changed?
So again, of course they agree. In Bnei Brak they agree, and I'm saying everyone agrees. Rav Steinman, the Be'er Hashem will have a refuah shleima, wrote a very stark letter a few years ago, 2 years ago, that only Mechalelei Shabbos and Noach Neveilus can go to the army. But I'm saying now when we get into the practical fight with the army, so we see that the Knesset members that are supposed to represent the Haredi view are agreeing for what's called the Mechzot, that some boys do need to go to the army, you know, saying the boys that learn, yes, boys that don't learn, no. But there's no such thing. The boys that don't learn have less of a ability to go into the army and stay strong. And so we feel that.
Rav Steinman would say that boys who aren't learning should go to the army.
Definitely not. Rav Steinman wrote.
So what's the difference?
The Knesset members.
So what is the difference between HaPeleg and Rav Steinman? I just don't understand the difference.
There's a big difference in the practical way. They're keeping quiet. They're agreeing to vote the Haredi. Again, I'm not speaking on Rav Steinman. I don't have any right to speak in his name, but I can see what the Knesset members of Degel HaTorah and Agudas Yisrael are doing
right
in the Knesset. And I see that they did vote for what's called the Chok HaGiyus HaMetukan that was fixed. I'm saying after fixing it, the numbers are increasing by law, that every year a certain amount of Haredim have to be drafted. And all this was supported by those members.
I'm just trying to understand. So Rav Degel believes that a certain amount has to be drafted, and Rav Oyebach, nobody should be drafted. Is that the difference?
No, I don't think the belief that should be drafted, but the belief that they can't fight and they need to accept it. And Reb Shmuel Auerbach says that is a shas shmad, and we don't take in consideration if we can succeed, we don't succeed with this fight, and we do anything we can to stop it. So I'll give you an example. All the years, the yeshiva boys would go once or twice a year to the army and give what's called a dichui, that would push the draft for another year. Like that they would do until they get to a certain age, and then they would be...
Right.
With. Today, Reb Shmuel Auerbach, all the yeshivas that go in his derech, don't give the dichui. He says any kind of participation with the army... you're giving them a hand, and you've been part of the gzeira that yeshiva boys need to go to the army. So the entire yeshiva world that listens to Shmuel Auerbach stops going even for that.
So let me just understand it. Historically, you're saying yeshiva boys would have to, they would get a patur, then every 2 years, every 2 years they would have to renew it, and Reb Shmuel Auerbach every year, and how many years has this been going on for, this story with Adichai? From the time of the Chazon Nish, okay. And he's saying that that's not a good program, and we have to stop needing
it's not a good program anymore, because in the past, really, what the army said, and again, this is what they say, not the Frei government members in the army. The pastor said, you know, you keep out, we're not interfering, we're giving you the money, told the yeshiva world, and you know, you don't bother us, we don't bother you. Now they changed the whole goal. The goal is to get as much more, to connect the firm environment with the secular environment.
So, Rabbi, ask you a question, Rabbi Rosen. This is creating, I mean, I've seen, like, we get a lot of press, a lot of, you know, Chil Hashem, Sinas Chinam, because there are all kinds of protests and traffic jams, and unfortunately, the papers are full of really, they say terrible things about, the Chilonim are saying very bad things. Is it worth, because of the hour or two that they're going to spend in the draft place, is it worth the and is it worth all this Chilul Hashem and Sinas Yisrael and Machlekes for an hour in the draft, something that's been going on for 70 years? And even though they say yes, maybe today they're trying harder. I mean, when I remember growing up, there was the Yalde Tehran. I mean, the Fruma were in a much weaker place than they are today. I mean, they say 50% of children under the age of 3 today are from an Eretz Yisrael, come from Fruma families. We've become so much stronger. If we survived this 50 years ago, 60 years ago, when we were a tiny fraction, today that was so much powerful. Even if there is an advantage, you're saying there are some weak yeshiva boys that hour, is it worth the damage that it does? The Chil Hashem is one of maybe the biggest aveira. It's Yarek Val Yavran Chil Hashem laid a lot of Rishayim. Is it worth for the Chil Hashem for that hour in the draft place?
Okay, so you mentioned a few points. So I'll start with, again, it's not only the 1 hour in the draft, is the whole system is changing. So like I said, in the past, it didn't interfere in the education. Today, they interfere in the... A kindergarten teacher was this told by a supervisor that she needs to take off the picture of the koisel because the kids can't understand that. I'm saying these are things that is illegal.
I understand, but when they've given you everything but they want, but the fact that you have to show up once a year, like maybe people feel like, you know, stopping traffic and not letting people go to work because of a detail like that. Like, at what point do you say a demonstration feels like, you know, when people say, hey, we're not being paid a living wage, I can understand, yes, there's a demonstration. When people say, you don't have to go and just come once a year, like, there's a point where, I guess it's a matter of point where people say, look, aren't you pushing the envelope? I do agree. Let me ask you
a
question.
I'm giving you numbers. We went up from 300 a year to 3,000. So those.
So let me ask you a question, Rabbi Rosen.
One boy, that's 2,700 boys up to now.
Let me ask you just a question that is maybe more general. You know, the Rambam paskins that a Mochemes Mitzvah is any Anytime they surround, it's Baruch Shulchan Aruch and Olcha Shabbos. They surround the Jewish city, right? They want to kill Jews. It's a Melchemes Mitzvah, right? And it's the Bach in Reish Mem Tes brings it. He says, this is the halacha of Melchemes Mitzvah. Even in Chutz Laretz, when they come to kill you, they come to kill Jews, it's a Melchemes Mitzvah. The wars that Israel's been involved in, 67, Mohammed Sheshet Hayam, the war of Yom Kippur just now with the Gaza, do you think that's a Mohammed Mitzvah? Like, do you think if we didn't go to war, the Arabs would live with us peacefully, or they would kill us all?
The Fum community or the Haredi community always believed for all the years is that if the army that is full of Gimel Averis Chamurois, like you mentioned before, Chilul Hashem is Yoreg Yale Avor, but there's other Gimel Averis of Shem, Giloy Arayas, Avoy Dezoro, I'm saying, in whatever level, Chilul Shabbos, Treif, that, to consider that as, again, I'm not speaking on the individual soldiers that died al Kiddush Hashem and in the highest place in Shomayim. I'm speaking in general. The whole system of a Chiloini army is bad for us. I'm saying that.
But is it a Melchemes Mitzvah? That's my question.
Yes, I'm sorry. A kosher Melchemes Mitzvah is when the army is run by Pitoiro.
So
when the army is run by Rishoyim of that.
Okay.
Use the interest. So I wouldn't consider that as a Melchemes Mitzvah.
Rabbi Rosen, The papers have been full again, and I see it in the yeshiva world and all these of signs that go up, and they say, you know, they call them chardaks. I don't know what it stands for, but it's religious soldiers, and you know, they put signs up against them. Some say they throw stones at them. They don't treat them respectfully, right?
Right.
And I have a question. The Torah says, "Loisisayev Mitzri ki ger ha'yisa ba'artzai." Do not hate an Egyptian because you are a ger in his land. And Rashi says, even though they tried to kill all the Sekharim and throw them into the water, Hakaras HaTov requires you to respect them. Loisisayev Mitzri, respect them. Now, here we have soldiers who are going to fight to protect, not to kill Jews, but to save other Jews. How could it be that we disrespect an Israeli soldier, but whereas an Adami or a Mitzri, we weren't allowed to disrespect, even though they tried to kill us? Kal v'chaima, Ben Benoit Shel Kal v'chaima, we have to treat these people with the greatest respect. How could we put up signs, etc., disrespectful to them?
So first of all, you know, we against any kinds of violence, and so I'm not the people that throw stones. No, that's not accepted. That's wrong in any, by everyone agree on that. Chardakim is the idea, chardakim, that I personally don't like the concept, but I'm saying that is used against Charedim that go into the army. It's not going on the army in general. It's not going on the not religious people in the army. It's not going on even on the Mizrahi people in the army. It's going on the Charedim that are going into the army. Again, until 10 years ago, there were Charedim in the army, and no one said anything, and no one bothered them. They didn't bother anyone else. Today, the soldiers that do go to the army, they're sent by the army to go with the uniform inside the religious communities to turn it into accepted symptom. Like Bibi Netanyahu himself said, that his dream is to see the army uniforms hanging on the washing lines in Bnei Brak. So each soldier that goes with his uniform, a Haredi soldier that goes with his uniform inside the community, is really a shaliach, which use very hard words, is a shliach of the sitra achat to take over the Haredi community. So I'm not speaking on anyone personal. Each one has his derech, the rabbi, yes, but as a symptom is a very bad thing. And that's
so he's worse
that's
than a,
the symptom.
He becomes worse than a Mitzri.
If he's a shaliach of the Sitra Achra to come to destroy us, so he's worse than a Mitzri. Yes.
Well, the Mitzri were the Sitra Achra themselves because they tried to kill Kala Ben Azchari Yadol Tashlichu. They were the Sitra Achra themselves, right?
right? But they came to destroy the game. I'm saying the goof. They definitely damaged Am Yisrael also in the nefesh very much. But these are people that are sent. I'm saying we can always look and try to find the good in everyone, and it's a good thing. But we have to. And I'm not. When we say Chardakim, we're talking on the uniform, we're talking on the Ashkofa that is spreading inside. We're not talking personal, you know, we can send him flowers as a Korasotoy for what he's doing.
But does anybody send flowers? I'm curious. You know, it's very interesting. This week I saw, you know, a lot of the Achrayim say, it says, an Amalek, the chait of Amalek was that they didn't have a Korasotoy. What did he say? Shaul said. What do we say? We say after the Megillah, Asher Haney. What do we say? Lo Zochar Toivas Shaul that he saved Agog. So if we say that Amalek's Chesaron, the biggest mile of Klal Yisrael's Hakaras Hatoiv, what type of Hakaras Hatoiv do we owe to somebody who risks their life so that our children should be able to go to yeshiva? What's the gather of Hakaras Hatoiv we owe such a person?
And we're focusing now on the not on the Haredi soldiers, right?
Or the non-Haredi soldiers. I'm asking you. I don't live in Israel, but what type of Hakaras Hatoiv do we owe to even to a non-Haredi soldier who has risked his life, given up 3 years, and his parents? Some many of them have. You know, they send the Ben Yachid. I just read an article about a Ben Yachid that was killed. What's the Hakaras Hatoiv we need to somebody who risked their lives to keep our children, to let them go to yeshiva?
Okay, so really, that goes into the Torah learning. I'm saying the Torah that we learn and the davening we daven, that's what's holding the whole world. The Torah we learn here, the Torah you learn there in America, that's really what's holding the world, including those soldiers. So I think every hour, extra hour we give in Seder, every extra Tehillim we say in hard times, for that slocha, that's the biggest cross that I've given, because that's giving them the highest, the whole lechatimtza of fighting. So our job is to bring the ruchnias to the world. They're doing what they need to do. And I'm saying until 10 years ago, that was all okay. Again, you're saying it's a minor difference. We definitely don't feel that. We feel there's a very big, there's a big difference in derech. Then again, I'm not speaking Gdol Yisrael from the other side. I'm not roy to speak in the name. I'm talking on the politicians and the people that are doing the practical work. And what they're doing in our eyes is destroying the Haredi community. So we have to fight. And if there's a...
So in general, Rabbi Rosen, when you go to Eretz Yisrael today, I mean, there's more Haredi neighborhoods. They're like, I say 50% of the children below like 3, I think, today are from, right? Do you think that...
Do you
see like big erosion in the Haredi community that's occurred under the last, you know, many years of the Gedolim and Bnei Brak's leadership, that it's... The erosion, there seems to be a very slippery slope, and there's been an erosion in the klal that justifies what's really a lot of machlokes. That sort of seems to be the message. Well, thank you very much. It's been wonderful having you with us, Rabbi Rosen.
Okay, it was my pleasure.
Bye-bye. Friends and listeners and participants with all the emails we get, something wonderful. Do you know that Headlines 2 is going to be published and going to be in your Sfarim stores in the next 2 weeks. It took around 2 years to write. I took 24 what I thought were the best, you know, episodes, programs that we had with the Rabbanim. We have, you know, Rav Moshe Sternbach, Rav David Cohn, Rav David Yosef, Rav Asher Weiss, their opinions, Rav Mordechai Willig, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, etc., etc. I took the Rabbanim who were on those programs from 3 continents, and I put it into, you know, with the article that, you know, created it, the article in the news, the first headlines, I believe the all-time bestseller of the OU. So this again is being published by the OU, which I guess if they kashrul our food, that means they're giving us a hechsher on this too. And it's exciting. It's going to look fantastic. And I think that if you want to have something to discuss over Pesach and you're sitting chalamoid and you want to talk to your kids about something besides maybe Donald Trump, but you want to talk about an interesting halacha topic that will get your children, your friends, your neighbors interested in arguing, Jews love to argue, go out and get. We only published, the first run is only a few thousand. I'm sure they're going to sell out in a hurry before Yom Tov. So go to your Sfarim store and say, I want headlines too.